Welcome to Backline Banter. Today we have got a banging episode in store, but also a bit of a painful one, to be honest. We talk, of course, the Premier League summary, the massive games of Arsenal versus Villa, and the very, very disappointing game, Liverpool versus Palace. We'll also have another fun segment at the end. It's either gonna be Team of the Week again or some blind ranking. So stay tuned, good episode, and we'll head straight into the Liverpool experience. Welcome to the Liverpool experience. Today, sadly, we're going to talk about the Liverpool Crystal Palace game. And I'm trying to stay as high, you know, energetic as I can, but really the loss hurt. It was painful. So as you know, Liverpool at home at Anfield bottled it to Crystal Palace 1-0, and there's not much more you can say, really. I mean, there is, because it's going to be like at least 10 minutes. But yeah, we bottled it at home against Palace. They played really well, to be honest. You know, to give them the plaudits, their first half, superb. So it's like, fair enough. And then, yeah, second half, we had, you know, so many chances, but we just couldn't convert it. But we'll talk about it deeply. So to kick things off, we're going to run through the lineup. So if you haven't already, go check out the YouTube channel. We got the videos, like this clip will be on there, and you'll be able to see, you know, some good visuals on the screen so you can follow through with me. So if you're just listening to the full podcast episode, go check out the YouTube channel, because we should have, you know, some nice images about here, a bit higher, wherever. So first off, we'll run through the lineups. So for Liverpool's lineup, first up in goals, we have Alisson, finally back from injury. So good to see him back in the team, straight into the starting 11 as well, which, you know, fair enough. Like, Kelleher has done a sublime job, and I would have thought maybe, you know, play Kelleher one more game, Alisson on the bench, then Alisson starting, but Klopp's decided, nah, Ali, you get the go ahead. You know, he'd probably be looking very, very good in training. So fair enough. And I got to say, he played well today. That's for sure. Did the saves he needed to. The goal that we did concede, he couldn't do anything about. You know, it gets cut back as a open goal. Well, not open goal, but he's got the whole goal to shoot out. Alisson can't do anything. But I thought he made a couple really good saves, and apart from that, he didn't have to do much. So, you know, fair enough. You know, Klopp, good decision, to be honest. In the back line for us, we have Connor Bradley at right back, Konate and Van Dijk in the centre back role, and then Robertson out on the left. So a good, very solid defence, you could say. Nearly back to our best, I'd say, if we had Robbo starting. If we had Trent starting, sorry, instead of Bradley, it would have been better. But of course, you know, Bradley has been exceptional for us when he's needed to play and, you know, step up. Phenomenal for Trent being out for a while now. But I just think Trent gives us that extra bit in attack, which we have been missing lately, to be honest, because we have been generating them, but putting them away and maybe making the chances even just that bit more clear cut, easier finishes. I think Trent, you know, gives that extra step in attack where Bradley, he doesn't lack, because his attacking performance is exceptional, really, but just not as good as Trent. But then again, it could, you know, reverse the other way. Trent's not as good as defending as Bradley, and Bradley's, you know, better at defending. So yes, he may not provide and help the attack just as high quality as Trent does, but he also might keep goals out better by his defending. So fair enough. And then, yeah, I like the centre back pairing. Very normal. Good to see Konate back in the starting team again. And then Robbo on the left. You love to see it. Unlucky a bit for Gomez to not keep being in this team. But, you know, when you have quality players like Bradley, Robbo, Trent, it's very hard to make yourself into the team. And, you know, when he has done it, he's done well. But I think that is the right selection for today because, of course, Trent is on the bench but unable to start, you know, just coming back from injury. In the midfield three, we have McAllister, Endo, and Curtis Jones. So good to see Jones back in the starting lineup. I believe the last time he started in the Prem was around February. So, you know, 2 months without starting because obviously injury again. So it's good to see him back. And I think it's a solid midfield. I think it's the right decision to give Szoboszlai a rest. And, you know, lately he's been good, but he definitely has higher standards that he can reach. So, you know, just give him a rest. And, I mean, he came on, which I'll speak about the subs in a second. And, yeah, made an impact. But McAllister, solid game all around. Jones, a good game, apart from one fatal error. But, you know, yep, we move. And then Endo, solid. But when he got the sub, I think it was the right decision, that's for sure. In the attack, we have Mo Salah on the right, Nunez up front, and Diaz on that left. So back to normal in the front line, you could say. It's been the usual front line for the past three games now, ever since we've been back from the international duties. And yeah, it's not really flowing, is it? We're making a lot of chances, but none of them are really putting him away. And when they do, it's a bit of brilliance, a bit of luck, and we're just unable to do that today. So for Palace's team, looking pretty decent. I'd say one of their best lineups they can put out. They got Henderson in goals, the three centre-backs, Lerma, Anderson, and Klein. In their, well, I'm reading it out a bit different to how they play because it's kind of a back five with Mitchell and Muniz on the right. But then in attack, they move up as well. So, yeah, I'm just reading off of the screen now. So, the two midfielders, Hughes and Wharton, and like I said, those left wing backs, right wing backs, you could say, Mitchell and Munoz. And in the attack for Palace, they have Eze, Elise, and Mateta. And I can't lie, I saw the starting lineup before the game, and I'm like, yep, of course, just our luck. Eze and Elise are back in the squad together. Elise just coming back from injury. And Eze, he's been back for a while. But, you know, what can you do? Perfect timing for us, you could say. Then for the subs for Liverpool, Dominic Szoboszlai coming on at halftime for Endo. I mean, we just needed that more attack. And he provided that. In the 48th minute, Alexander-Arnold coming on for Connor Bradley because Bradley seemed to got a bit of an ankle injury, just a slide tackle, and his ankle got caught underneath him, and it wasn't very nice. So him off, Trent on, maybe a bit sooner, Trent coming on, than Klopp and, you know, all the medical staff would have liked, but it had to be done. In the 66th minute, a double substitution, Gakpo and Jota on, Diaz and Nunez off, and I'm not too sure about this one. This is the only one where I'm like, I don't know, because I think Salah should have got the sub off here. I'm going to talk about him pretty soon, but I think he had a bit of a poor game. And Nunez, you know, fair enough, sadly. I do have the name of him on the back of the shirt, but wasn't the best from him, wasn't as influential as he usually is, and didn't finish the chance he got provided. And I just think Diaz is really good, especially as of recent. So he was a bit unlucky to get the sub. And then the final one, in the 82nd minute, Harvey Elliott on, Curtis Jones off. And for Palace's substitutions, they had Ayew come on in the 68th minute for Elise, because, you know, like I said, just coming back from injury, his first start in the Premier League since he got injured. In the 77th minute, Palace had a triple substitution, Schlupp, Ward, and Riederwald. I haven't said that right, but yep, those are the three players that came on. And then Hughes, Eze, and Klein off. And then their final substitution late on in the game, the 90th minute, Edouard on and Mateta off. So, you know, of course, Liverpool having the better squad, as they should do, but just they did play better, especially in that second half, but just couldn't convert the chances. For Palace, I do want to highlight Mateta. I thought he did really well that game, you know, did exactly what a striker you want to do, just very physical on our defenders and allowing, you know, Eze and Elise, those quick players, to run past him, get the ball off him. And yeah, I thought very good, was a nuisance for the centre backs. And of course, yeah, Eze and Elise were quality. They didn't shine that much, which was good. The first half, it was definitely like, ooh, this is going to be a long game. But second half, we shut him down and it was a lot better. So the first half, my thoughts on it was Crystal Palace was better, just slightly, but I do think they deserved to be in front. I did. You know, they had the chance early with Eze scoring. When that went in, I couldn't believe it. Like, it was just so easy, such simple play for them. You know, they were just knocking the passes around, and then next thing they know, they play one round, and he gets an easy cut back, and Eze's in space and slots it in the corner. It's just like, wow, you know, so early on too, you know, in the 14th minute. And yeah, it just seemed way too easy for him. And I couldn't believe it, really. I mean, I could, because we concede so many early goals. It's a bit of a joke. It seems like we like doing it. But yeah, way too easy for him. And then they also got another massive chance. Van Dijk, oh, he slips, he really does. You know, Palace trying to play the ball forward and Mateta and Virgil running for it, Van Dijk in prime position, but it just, I don't know, the ball just kind of skidded a bit more than he thought, so he had to, you know, walk back a little bit, and then he just, yeah, completely slipped, fell to the ground. Mateta's in on goal. Robbo puts a bit of pressure on him, he chips the keeper, and mate, what a piece of defending by Andy Robertson. He leaves Mateta, you know, he does a little chip and he's sprinting to the goal line and just gets a goal line clearance. Absolutely unreal from him. You know, of course, there have been closer calls in history, but it was still very close. The ball on the line, not all of it crossed it, so we're good. And yeah, well, if they scored then I think it wouldn't have been lights out already, of course. But, I mean, we couldn't come back from one goal. So two, I don't think we would have done that either. But yeah, very, very good bit of defending by Andy Robertson. And I got to say, in the first half, Robertson, the best player on the pitch. Attacking-wise, defending, like, he was unreal, I thought. Yeah, defending, completely solid, so good. And he got that goal line clearance, exceptional. And he was one of the best attacking players on the pitch, I thought. He had so many runs down that line and, you know, cut back, crossing it in. And yeah, so many times, so much running from him. And you just love to see it. He's got so much passion. And sadly, we just weren't able to capitalize on any of them. I don't think we had many massive clear-cut chances. I think the only one that I can specifically remember is the Endo chance. You know, a corner came in that it got stuck under Van Dijk's feet. It comes out to Endo a little bit and he hits it, but he's fallen back at the same time. And so then it hits the crossbar and off. And, you know, an open goal, you should probably score. Of course, the keeper in the way, but yeah, just unlucky. He's fallen back. He gets a little bit of touch on it. And yeah, Crystal Palace just playing really well, to be honest. You know, they've beaten our press because, I mean, everyone knows how lethal it is, but they were just calm on the ball. They played it around us. And then, you know, whenever they did get the ball, they'd hold it up nicely and then give themselves an attack. And yeah, it was just like, fair enough. Like, I really need this halftime whistle to go now because it was getting tough, that's for sure. And the second half whistle eventually did blow, of course. And they deservedly had the one goal lead. But of course, we come out of the second half firing like we usually do. That's how we get so many points from losing positions. But so many chances. Yeah. Second half, we came out flying. We had so many chances. It was unreal. Like 21 shots. only 6 on target. And I don't like talking about expected goals, but 2.81 and we scored none. Unreal. I can't believe it, really. Massive chances with Jones, Endo, Darwin, Nunez, Salah, but still just couldn't put any away. And that is what cost us the game. I can't believe it, really. Just so dominant in that second half. And just countless times, attack, attack. We had the ball in their attacking half so much. You know, our defenders were further than the halfway line. Even at times, Alisson had the ball and he was in Palace's half, just above the halfway line. But we just couldn't break the deadlock. And, you know, fair enough. Crystal Palace, their defense was so solid. You know, hats off to them, really, because they played exceptionally well to come to Anfield and, you know, beat us 1-0. Their defense solid and as a team played unreal, but you still got to say Liverpool's attack should have done better. And, you know, there you have it. That's the game. Very disappointing. I couldn't believe it, really. Watching it, send it down, every chance we had, I couldn't believe it. You know, hands on head, it was just so close. I mean, I'll talk you through the chances that I said. So the Endo one, I've already said, you know, hit the crossbar, close range. Oh, well, that one was a bit tougher. Even Diaz in the first half as well, a ball comes across and he does exceptionally well to get his foot on it. You know, he hits a perfectly just bang and Henderson does it, goes across the goal to make a good save. And yep, I'm sure I explained that beautifully. the massive chances in the second half. My boy Darwin Nunez, like I said before, I've got his name on the back of this shirt. And oh man, another corner, another header that got put down. I think it might have bounced off Konate and then it fell. I wouldn't say beautifully for Nunez, but it definitely fell pretty nicely for him. And he just, you know, wraps his foot around it and it's just not enough, really. And, you know, Henderson is able to make the save, just not far enough into the side. But, you know, I think out of all his chances he's done in the Premier League, this one is obviously a massive one. But I do think, you know, it's like a little bit fair enough that he missed. Of course, I know he is, you know, so close and he's just got the keeper to beat, but he didn't really know where the goal was. You know, he's turning. He pretty much got around his boot around the ball as much as he could possibly. And I think in his mind, he was thinking, if I wrap my foot around the ball any more, then it's going wide. But obviously that wasn't the case, but you know, I thought that one was a bit unlucky and it might be biased because I do really like Nunez. So when he misses chances, it's like, oh, no, you know, it wasn't his fault. But yeah, big chance there. Mo Salah with another big chance, of course, you know, I'm talking about all our big chances. To be honest, this could turn into an hour-long segment, but just the main ones. Yeah, Salah, I don't remember who played him the ball, but someone played him the ball. Jota headed just a nice little one across, well, backwards to him. And then Salah gets on the end of it, has a shot, and Mitchell or Klein, I'm leaning toward Mitchell. I'm pretty sure it was Mitchell. Gets his foot in the way, blocks it beautifully. If it wasn't for Mitchell, the goal was going in the corner. And Henderson, no chance because it was quite close range. But yeah, just another great piece of defending by Palace. And then the massive chance where I could not believe that we missed. I really couldn't. Curtis Jones. I mean, I think you know already which chance I'm talking about if you saw the game. But I think Palace had a corner, maybe, and then we counterattacked, or they had an attack, and then we counterattacked them. And Cody Gakpo gets the ball. He's running through. And there's Robertson on the left or some player on the left. And it was a pretty easy pass. But the one I was looking at and I was screaming for him to pass was Curtis Jones in the middle. You know, there was a defender above Gakpo and then the defender running towards Jones was just below him. So he had space and, you know, fair dues to Gakpo. He got the ball off and it was beautifully to Curtis Jones in his path. He's running in on goal. The defender is not catching up to him, but Curtis Jones fires and hits wide from, you know, he's outside of the box, but Henderson's coming out and it just looked like such a routine finish for him, for a professional player. You know, him running around, just open the body, bang, hit it into the side of the net. But he just got it all wrong, I guess, and missed it. Yeah, massive chance. And he knew how big that chance was, because as soon as he missed it, mate, the shirt was over the face. He did not want to be seen. I think that is a moment that he just wants to forget in his career. Just put it at the back of the head, you know, don't remember it at all. And yeah, you know, things happen. It is what it is, but a fatal miss. And, you know, at near the end of the season, that's for sure. I think it's definitely going to be a costly one, but you can't just say it was just his fault. Of course, that was the best chance, in my opinion, of out of all those, you know, big main chances. But if it wasn't for all the other Liverpool players, you know, taking their chances, then it wouldn't have mattered so much. And I just wanted to speak on that one, because, you know, it was just such a big build-up. And maybe that's a bit of a cost why he missed it, because he had a lot of time to think about it. Although I do think he already, you know, knew which corner he was placed in it, but maybe just, you know, he just let the pressure creep in, because got played the ball, a touch, and oh, yep, I've got to shoot this one, and just maybe a little bit too long, he got to think about it. But, oh well, you know, game's a game, and it ends 1-0. Painful, that's for sure. I thought we're definitely winning the title this year. Of course, it's not out of the picture, and Arsenal losing to Villa, big help, which I'll talk about after this game. But, you know, now City sitting at the top of the table, 2 points above us, 2 points above Arsenal. And yeah, just not looking the best. I don't see City dropping points, but you never know. I didn't see Arsenal losing the game against Villa. I thought maybe a draw, but not losing. So it is what it is. This loss against Crystal Palace makes it the first time we have lost consecutive games at Anfield since 2017. That just shows you we haven't been up to standard. You know, of course, Atlanta in the Europa League at home lost 3-0, and then Palace at home this game here lost 1-0. Since coming back from the international break, you've got to say we haven't been up to standard. You know, Liverpool just not at it. I don't know what it is, but we just haven't been at it. Robertson said the same thing in a post-game interview. He just said, you know, I'm not too sure, but ever since we came back from the international break, we just haven't been able to finish our chances. And it does show, you know, we played Man U at their place. So many chances, wasn't able to capitalize, got the draw 2-2. And then at Anfield, losing to Atlanta 3-0, just didn't play very well. And then this game against Palace, we lose 1-0. So just something to think about, you know, what has happened to Liverpool since the international break, because it's causing a massive problem, that's for sure, and definitely a cause of us losing the title, you've got to say. You know, of course, it's not over yet, but it's going to be tough. And one big thing I thought from the game, Mo Salah, is he getting too old, too unfit to play for Liverpool? Now, of course, I mean this with no disrespect. I love Mo Salah so much, a Liverpool legend, you know, one of my favourite Liverpool players, I've got to say, you know, of all time. But this season, and even last season, and especially as of recent, he just hasn't been involved in the game. Now, of course, you can, you know, rebuttal this with saying, well, look how many goals and assists he's got, but this is what he does. So he doesn't get involved in the game. He doesn't get many touches. He doesn't beat players like he used to, but he still manages to maybe score a tap in or a penalty goal or get an assist near the end of a game, score a goal at the end of the game. And, you know, people say, you know, oh, yeah, nah, Salah's, you know, played pretty well. He's gotten a goal, you know, goal and assist, two goals, whatever it may be. But if you don't watch the full game, you won't realize that he just doesn't get involved. He gets completely shut down by the left back, at least for most of the time. And yeah, I just never see him beating the player. He never gets the ball, really. And really, I think he's costing the Liverpool forward a line a lot. The only really good performance that I can remember him at this season, where, you know, he's taken on players, beating them, was the game against Arsenal at the Emirates. I thought, you know, he played a cracker there. But ever since then, and even before it, I just think he hasn't done much on the games and hasn't been very influential. So, you know, it might be an unpopular opinion, and I don't want to say this, you know, in a bad way, because I love Salah. You know, like I said at the start, a legend. What he's done for the club, insane, and I never want to get rid of him. But maybe it's time to. And that's what I was saying with the subs. That's why I thought Salah should have come off instead of Diaz. But, you know, what can you do, really? I just expect more from him. Of course, he is getting old. But with this loss to Liverpool against Palace 1-0, and Arsenal also losing to Aston Villa 2-0, you've got to say both teams have bottled it at the end. Manchester City are now sitting on top, everyone on equal amount of games played, 2 points in front of both teams, 6 games remaining. You don't see them losing points, and yeah, fatal games. Liverpool choking up on a pretty easy one, you could say. Arsenal, of course, at home v Villa, a tough game, but losing that right at the end. And Manchester City could win another Premier League title and beat Liverpool and Arsenal, one of the closest Premier League title races we've ever seen. So I hope you enjoyed this Liverpool experience segment. It's also, you could say, a bit of the highlight round, because of the result. And, you know, I tried to say as much, as high energy as I could do, but it's a tough result. And yeah, you know, following them for a few years now, and, you know, watching every Premier League game and every game this season, really, to be honest, it's a tough one to take, but it happens. And we just got to move on to the next game, really. And, you know, see what we can do, but we'll see what happens. Welcome to the highlight round. So for this game week, we have Arsenal versus Aston Villa. Arsenal at home lose to Villa 2-0. Now, I've got to say, to be honest, I am very happy with this result, but not as happy as, of course, you know, Liverpool losing. And I mean, I don't actually know if I'm more happy, to be honest, sadly, because, you know, it's a leap that they lost. But, you know, knowing that if we won against Palace, we would have been top of the Prem in a very, very good position with 6 games remaining. But, you know, we move. It was a very entertaining game. I did only watch the mini for this one, so really only, you know, some of the main highlights. So it was good. It was good. I did enjoy it. As much as I could after, you know, you watch a full football game and your team loses. But, oh well, you know, we'll pass that. I'll try and stop rambling on about that for the rest of the pod or for the YouTube video, whichever one you're watching. And yeah, it was good. I'll run you through the lineups, of course, to start things off. So for Arsenal, of course, David Raya in goals, Ben White right back, Saliba and Gabriel as the centre-halves, Zinchenko as the left back, in the midfield three, Odegaard, Declan Rice and Havertz. So him being a bit of that deeper player, you know, very interesting, that's for sure. The front three consists of Saka on the right, of course, Jesus up front and Trossard on the left. So a pretty good team, you've got to say. Of course, Martinelli still kind of coming back from a little bit of an injury. So him not starting, and Jorginho getting dropped to the bench for Havertz. For Aston Villa, you've got to say back to not the best lineup, but definitely a lot better than the previous week against City. So, of course, Emi Martinez in goal, Konsa right back, Diego Carlos and Torres in the centre-back roles, Digne left back, John McGinn and Yuri Tielemans in the defensive midfield roles, Diaby and Zaniolo out wide with Rodgers in an attacking midfield role and Ollie Watkins up front. So really good lineups from both teams, very strong. And of course, a very, very close game, you got to say, but Villa taking it at the end. Villa not using many subs, only the two for this game. In the 61st minute, Bailey coming on for Diaby and he did get the first goal in the game. And Alex Moreno on in the 80th minute for Zaniolo. For Arsenal subs, they used the whole five. Martinelli and Tomiyasu on in the 67th minute for Ben White and Trossard. Smith Rowe and Jorginho on in the 79th minute for Odegaard and Jesus. And their last sub right at the end of the game, Nketiah on in the 87th minute for Zinchenko. So trying to pull the result back. That is not the case. So what a game for Aston Villa, scoring two goals late on. Bailey in the 84th minute and Watkins in the 87th minute. Watkins' goal, absolutely unreal. Up against Smith Rowe, beats him. Well, not really beats him. Smith Rowe did pretty well, but just a beautiful finish to beat the keeper. And yet Bailey, beautiful bit of play by Villa and gets the tap in. And it's so annoying. I said I wouldn't talk about it again, but it would have been so much more enjoyable if Liverpool won their game, because they would have been top of the Prem. Arsenal losing points, you love to see it, but just doesn't work as well as it could. The key chances in this game that I did see was Havertz having a lot of chances, really, you know, very much of an attacking threat, but he was offside multiple times. I mean, you know, it is what it is. That's what happens sometimes. And I can relate with Darwin Nunez. But yeah, a bit unlucky for him. Just going too early sometimes. But you'd rather him go and get the ball than not getting it all. So you don't mind it. And then in the game, Yuri Tielemans. What a shot he had. So unlucky not to score, you know, outside the box. Curling the ball in and hits the crossbar, goes down, hits the post and goes out. Arsenal so lucky for that to not go in, and Tielemans, oh, you must be fuming with that one not going in, but so close yet so far. And I swear, Tielemans only scores bangers, man. You know, some power shot outside the box or a curler, just never an easy tap in for him. And of course, like I said about the goals, you know, Watkins, a beautiful run, beautiful finish. And then Bailey, a nice tapping, good play from Villa. Arsenal just losing it at the end. I mean, that's why they bottle it. I can't talk too much though, because, you know, Liverpool bottling it too. But oh well, you've just got to laugh about it, really. That's all you can do. There's no point being really pissed off at it, you know, like, of course I am, but oh well, you know, it happens. Game's a game. You just got to move on, really. It's not over yet, six games, but yeah, it's going to be tough, that's for sure. And for Arsenal's six remaining matches in the Premier League, they've got Wolves away, Chelsea at home, Spurs away, Bournemouth at home, Man U away, Everton at home. So honestly, some pretty tough fixtures there, but you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think they'll win the league, you know, sadly for Arsenal fans, but that is some very tough fixtures. And yeah, losing against Villa, and I mean, it's not really how they're playing and how I think, you know, oh, they're not going to win these games. I do think they'll win the games, but I just don't see City dropping any points. That's the main thing, because their remaining games, they've got Brighton away, Forest away, Wolves at home, Fulham away, Spurs away, and then West Ham at home. So you've got to say they've got a pretty easy run. The only game that I think they could maybe drop points is when they go to Tottenham Stadium and play them. I think that's going to be a massive game. The only way Liverpool or Arsenal could win the title. But Tottenham recently, will they do the job against them? I don't know. But, you know, that's still a few weeks away. You know, 15th of May would be the second last game of the season. So 37th game. And then they also do play West Ham at home. But I do think they'll win that game. West Ham won't put too much of a challenge for them. But yeah, pretty much just that Spurs City game. We'll see what happens. Not too much to talk about this one, to be honest, because I think half the time when I was watching it as well, I was just thinking Liverpool really just lost at home again to Palace. They couldn't take any of their chances, but oh well. I mean, well, I've just said it again, so I'm going great. but yeah, I think I might wrap it up there. It might be a little bit of a shorter video, you could say, maybe not in that 10-minute mark, but still quality. If you enjoyed watching, it would be very much appreciated if you gave me a like, a subscribe, whatever you can do to support the pod. And if you're just watching the clip on YouTube, go over to any podcast listening app, search up Backline Banter and listen to the whole episode there. Newcastle 4, Tottenham 0. A massive game, a massive matchup, and Newcastle at home winning 4-0. Isaac with two goals shining in the display, him scoring the 30th minute and the 51st. Gordon making it 2-0 in the 32nd minute. And then Shah putting the cherry on the cake and winning the game. Well, not winning the game, but just extending that lead even more in the 87th minute. A very good game by Newcastle. You could say, though, Spurs, not unlucky, but just not to their best, really. You know, of course, they have a lot of the ball, a lot of possession, 73% to Newcastle's 27. But, you know, if you hold the ball and you don't make chances, you're not going to win the game. And that's exactly what they did. Held the ball, but just couldn't have that many attacking opportunities. You know, 11 shots to one target, not the worst you've ever seen, but expected goals, 0.77. And I'm not a massive fan of the stat, but I think I've got to say that to compared to Newcastle's 2.88 expected goals, 18 shots and 5 on target. So Newcastle, fair enough, winning the game. And yeah, I would have thought Spurs put up a much better fight. It is at, you know, St. James's Park. They do play a lot better when they're at home, but still, you would think Tottenham do a lot better. But then again, the same fixture last season, Newcastle won 6-1. So maybe it's just a thing, Spurs coming to St. James's Park and not be able to put in a good performance, but if they want to push any further in the league, in the table for, you know, following seasons, they've got to make sure that they capitalize on these opportunities. But that is not the case. Big man Alexander Isak, like I said, getting two goals, doing very well, in fire form at the moment. Absolutely unreal. In his past four games in the Premier League, bagging 5 goals, so just showing how well he is playing at the moment. And I believe this was his 20th goal for the season. Those two there, because, yeah, 17 in the Prem, 1 assist, and then 3 goals in other competitions. So you never know. He could be in a shout for the Golden Boot. You know, of course, you know, he is 17 goals in the Prem, and Haaland and Palmer in front with 20, so you never know, but he's missed a fair few games, so he's done very well regardless to score. And I mean, I think every time I talk about him, I speak about his silky dribbling, because it is genuinely amazing. You know, he's such a tall man, and he's so good with his feet, just dribbles past players and then slots it into corners, top bins, whatever you do. whatever you like, he will do. Absolute phenomenal player. And it will be interesting to see how many more goals he can get in the 6 remaining Premier League games. Another man also who shined in that Newcastle team, Anthony Gordon, 2 assists and a goal. Getting man of the match, at least on FootMob anyway, because that is where I do look at all my stats and all the games. So, you know, he's just in pretty decent form at the moment, I'd say, doing pretty well. And then this game especially, putting in a very good shift. And he just wants to keep this form up for the rest of the season and then move it into the Euros with England. And yeah, that will be very interesting. So, good win for Newcastle. Spurs, very disappointed, very unlucky. Just seemed to drop a few points lately when they really don't want to, because they want to push for that 4th spot and beat Aston Villa. Only 3 points behind, and Villa actually do have a game in hand, but you know, we'll see what happens. Manchester City 5, Luton Town 1. Not much needs to be said about this game, really. Just City, absolute dominant, that's for sure. I do have to give a bit of credit for Luton Town, though, because apart from the goal that they conceded in the 2nd minute, Hashioka with an own goal, bit unlucky there, they kept them not scoring another one until the 64th minute. So, you know, fair enough to Luton. Usually, if City score early, then the floodgates are open. They add one onto another, but this is not the case. They held them up and, you know, they did get a few more goals. You know, they scored the next two, and then Luton Town actually got one back with Barkley, and then they finished it off. But yeah, I got to give credit to Luton, because going to the Etihad and, you know, putting in a decent performance, you know, again, not getting any points, so it's not really worth it. But you can kind of see what Luton have put in place the whole season, and you know, they're very unlucky with that first goal. So let's say that first goal didn't go in, City didn't score until the 64th minute. So they did really well to keep City level for so long. Well, you know, not level, but you know what I mean. Of course, they did concede a lot of shots. I mean, you know, City dominant, as you expect, 74% possession to Luton's 26, and then 30 shots, 13 on target to Luton's 4 shots and 2 on target. But, you know, Luton making the most with their 2 shots on target, scoring one of them. And, you know, City having a bit of a field day, taking a bit longer to extend their lead. But they drew it in the end. And, yeah, like I said at the start, Hashioka with an own goal in the 2nd minute. Kovacic scores in the 64th minute. Haaland in the 76th minute from the spot. And Ross Barkley gets one back in the 81st. Doku in the 87th makes it 4-1. And then the last goal of the game, Kvaratskhelia in the 93rd minute. Very good goal by him. Back-to-back stunners, you could say. A beautiful goal against Madrid. And then a very nice goal against Luton. So, you know, of course, very much as you expect. And, of course, sadly, this does mean Manchester City are back on top. You know, like I said previously in the episode, all teams level on games played. But sadly, Liverpool and Arsenal, well, sadly for Liverpool, they're on 71 points alongside Arsenal also with 71. And then City pushing above them all with the win, putting them on 73 points. So, yeah, I don't really see them dropping points for the rest of the season. I mean, I've already said, but the only game I do see maybe they could is the game against Spurs at Spurs Stadium. But the form they're in and how they go about games at the moment is unreal. And you just see them pushing through the rest of the season. Only 6 games left. And sadly, I think they're going to win another Premier League title. Of course, anything can happen in the Premier League. That's why it's such an entertaining race. But yeah, you don't see it. And, you know, Man City back to full strength, you could say. Their only, you know, player that they're really missing is John Stones with a bit of an injury. But, you know, for the most part, absolute unreal. And, of course, expected win against Luton. And, yeah, we'll see if they can win the title in these remaining games. Bournemouth 2 at home against Manchester United, also scoring 2 goals. So it's a 2-0 match. Solanke scores the first goal of the match in the 16th minute. Fernandes replies in the 31st, but then Bournemouth, very quick response, and Kluivert scores in the 36th minute. And Bruno Fernandes scores from the penalty spot in the 65th minute to draw the game 2-0. You could say, though, Bournemouth a bit unlucky not to get a penalty right at the end of the game with a foul on Ryan Christie. I believe it was given a free kick instead just outside of the box. So a bit unlucky for them. And you've got to say, I definitely think they should have won the game because, you know, again, we'll go into the stats. Bournemouth, you know, not having as much of the ball as Man U, you know, as expected, 43% possession to Man U's 57. But Bournemouth, 20 shots, 5 on target to Man United's 8 shots and 2 on target. So Man U, 2 shots on target, 2 goals. And Bournemouth just, I can't put any more away. And I cannot stand Man United, the most inconsistent team in the Premier League. You know, they play a ripper game against Liverpool, you know, do pretty decent, finish their chances, and then they play against Bournemouth and get dominated, but then they also finish their chances. So, you know, they're not playing nice, the football's not nice, but they've been clinical with their chances recently, and that's what's getting them the points. They're really making teams pay, that's for sure. Because Bournemouth would have loved those 3 points. They would have been sitting in 11th place, same points as Brighton in 10th, you know, really pushing in that mid-table. They could still maybe go above it, but you just never know. And Bournemouth, at the moment, like I've said, they've done really well this season, and they just show it again, a draw with Man U. And, you know, I think they should have got the win, but unlucky. And Man United, honestly, very happy with a draw. I think they will 100% take that because Bournemouth, you know, earlier in the season, beating him 3-0 at Old Trafford. And then they come to their place, play him off the park pretty much, but just can't finish their chances. Solanke's first goal, I thought he took that really well. There were questions, though. Could Onana do a bit better? You know, go down to the right side of the goal a bit quicker, you know, Maguire's covering that left side, so he should take a couple steps over, but, you know, it's tough. I'm not a goalkeeper, so I don't really know, but I think Solanke does beautiful to, you know, glide past defender, and then absolute laces it near enough in the corner, and, you know, gets the goal, and then Bruno seeming back in form, that's for sure. You know, 2 goals this game, and then his previous 2 matches, apart from this game, he's also scored in each one of those games. A goal against Chelsea, a goal against Liverpool, and then 2 in this game, of course. So he's getting back in form because he did have a very, very purple patch of not scoring. You know, he got a few assists, but the goals just weren't flowing in the Premier League. And yeah, now back to it. And it's what Man United needs, that's for sure. Taking their chances, and he seems like he's the man to do it because, you know, Rashford looking a bit dry lately. Same with Hoyland. Garnacho's looking pretty good, but he did come off in the 46th minute in this game for Amad Diallo. So I don't know, maybe an injury there, but I think Ten Hag just wanted to switch it up and see how Diallo goes in the Premier League. But yeah, like I said, honestly, disappointing from both teams. Bournemouth, I think unlucky they didn't get the win, and Man United think they should do better, but you know, they get pretty lucky with a draw. So they'll take it, a point apiece. Man United sitting on 7th, the same amount of points as Newcastle in 6th with 50 points as well, of course. But, you know, their goal difference much superior with plus 17 to Man U's minus 1. So they're pushing for that 6th spot. And if they can stay in the 7th, at least they get some sort of European football. But we'll see what happens. Brentford 2, Sheffield United 0. A result that you do expect for Brentford, especially at home. You know, playing pretty decently lately, you know, especially since Tony has been back. He didn't play this game, though. He was on the bench in this game, though. To be honest, I don't really know. I'm going to say injury because why would you not play him? He didn't even come on as a sub. So I think that would be the case. But yeah, Brentford doing well. You do maybe expect a bit of a closer game. Sheffield at least scoring one. But, you know, good on Brentford doing the job. 2-0. Our blaster with an own goal in the 63rd minute. Hopefully I've said that right. But he was very unlucky. He's just, you know, running back towards goal. And he's trying to block the cross that gets played in, but just gets the tip of his foot and goes in the goal. But Onyeka seals the deal in the 93rd minute. So, very good win for Brentford. They are now on 32 points, sitting in 15th place. 7 points above the drop zone now. So, you've got to say they seem pretty safe. And Sheffield United on the bottom with 16 points. Burnley above them with 20. Well, yeah, they're going to need a miracle, that's for sure, in the last six games to get a lot of points. I think they've got to win it all, you know. Luton on 25, needing at least 9 points. So, yeah, you've got to say they've got to at least win 4 out of their 6 remaining games. And, yeah, it's going to be tough. They do have Burnley next game, though, at home. So that will be a big, big matchup and a definite needed win there. But then Man United at Old Trafford, Newcastle at St. James's Park, Forest at home, maybe they could do it, but Everton away, and then Spurs at home. So, sadly, if you're a fan of Sheffield, you've got to say they're probably going down. I think that was probably stated very early on in the season, but, you know, doing better at the end of the season, picking up some more points, but it just doesn't seem enough, really. Burnley 1, Brighton 1. Oh my, what a game that was. Both goals pretty late on the game. You know, Brownhill in the 74th minute and then a Murick own goal in the 79th minute. Both goals from mistakes from both teams, really. For Burnley's goal, Belieber just back passes to Verbruggen. And it's just not really enough. But Verbruggen gets there first, but just isn't able to clear the lines enough. And just the ball bounces straight into Brownhill and off into the goal. And then the Murić own goal. Oh, my. I don't remember who played in the back pass, but, you know, it's just a simple pass back to him. You know, it's not too quick. It's just a solid pass. And he goes for the touch, but completely misses it. And the ball just rolls past him into the net. He tries to run back and dive to save it, but it's too late for that. Just a complete miscue by him, really. Such an easy touch for him. He would have done that a million times throughout his career, but this time completely missing the ball. Massive lapse of concentration and cost Burnley the game, really. And, you know, it's still a good result for them at home against Brighton, picking up a point, and they have done very well lately. In their past six games, they have gotten 4 draws, 1 win, and then only 1 loss. So, doing very well. And like I said, if they could have got the 3 points there, that would have been massive, you know. Still with a decent chance to, you know, stay in the Premier League, not get relegated, get out of the drop zone, but when they make mistakes like that, you know, the keeper just completely missing the ball, it is really going to cost them in the long run. But, you know, doing well recently, picking up the points, you know, like I said, West Ham 2-2, beating Brentford 2-1, drawing to Chelsea 2-2, Wolves draw 1-1, and then this game against Brighton drawing 1-1 as well. So playing really well recently, and you've got to say maybe if they started the season playing off like this, they could have been in a pretty good position, you know, maybe just below mid-table. But, you know, it just took a while for it to click. I think it's still not, you know, perfect, of course. They're still trying to figure out, but it's a lot better than how it started. And, you know, they'll still take the point, but very frustrated they couldn't take all 3 and also get a clean sheet. But, you know, mistakes happen. You know, it's football. It is what it is. And, yeah, you just got to move on. So, pretty good game. Brighton disappointed, but it ends 1-1. Nottingham Forest 2, Wolves 2. A massive game. You know, what a performance from both teams. But Sadly, it ends as a draw, 2-2. Cunha scoring the first goal of the game in the 40th minute, then Forrest replying with Gibbs-White in the 41st plus 1 minute added on. Then they take the lead in the second half with Danilo scoring in the 57th minute, then Cunha equalizes it and it finishes the game 2-2 in the 62nd minute. Very even game, you've got to say. You know, Forest 46% possession to Wolves 54. They had 18 shots, 9 on target to Wolves, 11 shots, 4 on target. So, you know, I'd say a draw is pretty fair for both teams. You know, Forest at home, Wolves have been in a bit of rough form lately, but again, you know, it does come down to a bit of injuries, but you know, they've still got to push past that. And Nottingham Forest, of course, you know, up and down throughout the whole season. You know, their last game they lost to Spurs 3-1, but then the one before that beat Fulham 3-1, then draw to Wolves 2-2. So, you know, I think they'll definitely take a point against Wolves, and it puts them out of the relegation zone. Well, still above it anyway. Just 1 point above Luton. They've played the same amount of games, so it's going to be very close. And Wolves, you know, just dropping out of that above mid-table area. You know, I remember a few weeks ago, maybe even a month, they were sitting eighth, but they've dropped down to 11 points. 11th place, they've gotten 43 points. Brighton ahead of them with 44, and then Fulham and Bournemouth behind them with 42. So if they drop in that 13th spot, then you've got to say, very disappointing for them. But, you know, the way they've been playing is definitely there, and it's just seen out the rest of the season. You know, 6 games left for them. Hopefully their injured players come back in time. Neto, Nuri, Bellegrade, and it's good to see Hwang Hee-chan back on the bench. Came on in the 59th minute, little appearance there. And yeah, you know, a draw, fair enough. You know, like I said, both teams really playing well, but not able to find that late minute winner, and it ends all square. West Ham 0, Fulham 2. A brace by Andres Pereira to win Fulham the game. His first goal in the 9th minute and his second in the 72nd. So very good performance by him. And, you know, Fulham see the game out, but West Ham just a bit unlucky, you know, not making their chances. And, oh, mate, I looked at the highlights and Mikel Antonio right at the start of the game. You know, cool foul, takes in the touch inside, has a shot, the keeper saves it, it bounces to Antonio, the goal open, and he laces it over the bar. Absolutely a massive miss, really. You can't put it any sweeter than that. Just the whole goal to aim at. Of course, he's got the keeper that he has to beat because he's laying on the ground, but oh, he skies it. I cannot believe it. You know, someone with his experience does that. Unbelievable. So, you know, a very, very disappointing loss for West Ham. You know, just couldn't finish their chances, couldn't get the goals, couldn't even take Fulham to a draw at home. So, you know, they're sitting in 8th place, 1 point above Chelsea in 9th and 2 below Man United. So, you know, they still can push into that 6th place because Newcastle are also sitting on 50 points. So, you know, say they win a game and they don't win a game, then they're in 6th looking for that Europa League spot. But at home against Fulham, you've got to say at least a point minimum. I would have thought they'd get all 3 points, but it's not the case. Fulham doing very well. Like I said, Pereira with a double. What a man. And for Fulham, you know, it pushes them closer towards West Ham, you could say. Of course, still 6 points behind, but 6 games remaining, or 5 games remaining, actually, for both teams. You never know. And, you know, they're hoping to get on that other side of the mid-table, maybe into that 9th spot. I mean, I think they'd be happy with 10th anyway. Even sitting in 12th and they stay 12th for the rest of the season, I think they'll be very happy with that. Played some good football this season. But, you know, tough loss for West Ham and a bit inconsistent, you could say, like Man United. You know, they play really good one game and, you know, have a good run and then they lose a lot of games or draw them. And, you know, it all goes to not very good, that's for sure. And then they come back, good form, and then drop again. You know, it's very up and down, and it just shows again, a game where you do expect them to win, at least make it very close on the score sheet, but it's not the case. And Fulham, you know, take their chances. They had 18 shots, 10 on target, to West Ham's 15 shots, 4 on target. So, you know, it works out for them. 3 points. They would be very happy with that. West Ham, of course, disappointed, like I've said. And it finishes 2-0. The last game for the Premier League summary. Chelsea against Everton. It's the Stamford Bridge. They win 6-0. What a performance by Chelsea. Their best performance of the whole season. You know, their biggest win. And wow. Cole Palmer. What a man. Well, I should say Cole Palmer because that is absolute unreal. 4 goals in this game. He scores a hat-trick in the first half hour of the game and then also has a penalty in the 64th minute, which, of course, he slots away. Wow, it's just unbelievable, really. I saw 6-0 and I went, wow. I'm like, I wonder how many Palmer score. And I saw how many. I'm like, wow. You know, not even just a hat trick. He adds on to it. And, you know, it pushes him onto 20 goals in the Golden Boot race, tied with Erling Haaland. You know, no one above those two. And wow. What a youngster he is, you know, breaking through in the Premier League, you've got to say. You know, the transfer from City to Chelsea and getting so much game time and doing absolutely sublimely. And, you know, of course he scored, you know, 9 penalty goals. So only 11 out of the 20 goals in the Premier League has been, you know, outfield goals. And, you know, 3 of them being today. So what you could say before today being on 16 goals, 8 from the spot, something like that. But, you know, it still can't take that much away from him. You know, of course, scoring from the penalty spot is a lot easier. And, of course, you're not always the one that wins the penalty. So it's kind of a free goal. But you've still got to have the nerves to step up and take it. And he did exactly that in this game. A bit of a worry, though, for Chelsea. You know, a bit of a scuffle at the penalty spot. Of course, you know, they got awarded the penalty. Cole Palmer, I won it, I believe. And of course, he already scored a hat trick. And Madueke, you know, got the ball. And I think he thought he was taking the penalty. You know, Palmer already getting his hat trick. You know, just share the goals around. And Madueke has taken a couple penalties for Chelsea this season, I believe, and slotted them both. But Cole Palmer having absolutely none of it. Jackson came over too, and I don't know if he was pleading for Madueke to have the ball or even for him to steal it himself. I don't know there, but, you know, Palmer takes it in the end. Definitely not what you want to see, especially, you know, you're already up 4-0. It's the last thing you want from your team. You know, people thinking, wow, they played well. You know, the team's doing well. It is flowing. But you see that conflict, you know, who's going to take the penalty? And personally, I think, you know, just give it to Palmer because, you know, he's taken so many pens through the season, hasn't missed one, still got 100% success rate. But, you know, I do also see the side, you know, he's already scored a hat trick, you know, share the goals out, you know, boost someone else's morale. But personally, you know, overall, I think you've got a set penalty taker, you know, so he's going to take it. Just how Salah does it for Liverpool. But that's really the only negative for the game from Chelsea. You know, like I said, Palmer with 4, Jackson got 1, and Gilchrist with 1. His first goal for the club, I believe. And Everton just, well, they didn't really get dominated, so to say. You know, it was pretty even. Of course, Chelsea, you know, having a lot better chances and more, you know, 14 shots, 10 on target to Everton's 10 shots, 2 on target. But the scoreline definitely makes it look a lot worse, just so clinical. And I suppose Chelsea just showing on their day that they are a top 6 team, that's for sure. But it's just staying consistent, and they haven't done that this season. Speak about Palmer's goals. His first goal, beautiful. Just nutmegs Branthwaite, plays the pass to one of his teammates, gets it back. And it's just a beautiful first-time finish. Curling, bottom corner. You can't hit it any better. You know, you're off by a centimetre, it's hitting the post or the keeper's saving it, but he does beautifully, just wraps his foot around it. Unreal finish that was. And then his second, he gets, you know, a bit of a tap in, but you take every goal you can get. Jackson, I believe one of the players, fires a shot at the goalkeeper. It bounces up and Palmer running through, just gets a nice little tap on with the head, puts it in the back of the net. And then his third, I don't really remember, but it was with the right foot because I remember he did get a perfect hat trick. And then, of course, you know, scoring from the spot, like I said, that bit of conflict, but overall he takes it and puts it away. So very, very good performance by Chelsea. There's not more to be said, really. You know, 6-0. Wow, definitely not what I would have thought from Chelsea, that's for sure. And they actually haven't lost in a long time, at least in the Premier League. I think the last time was in February against Wolves. So they're doing very well. You know, since they lost, they've bet Palace, drew to City, drew to Brentford, bet Newcastle, drew to Burnley, bet Man U, drew to Sheffield, and bet Chelsea. So you could say, too, they could be even higher in this table if they didn't drop points to Sheffield, Burnley, Brentford. But, you know, they're doing well. I wouldn't say it's gone perfect for them at the moment, but it's definitely starting to click, that's for sure. And, you know, just putting them away, getting the points finally, you know, a long time coming, and they push into ninth spot on 47 points. So, you know, good on Chelsea, fair enough. Finally, they put in a good performance and they win the game 6-0. That is the end of the episode. I did say at the start that there might have been another segment, you know, Team of the Week or Blind Ranking, but I think there is enough content in that. A beautiful Premier League summary, you know, a big segment of the Liverpool experience and the highlight round as well with Arsenal Villa. So some good stuff indeed. And of course, if you just listen to the episode, check out the YouTube channel, Backline Banter, because we have posted, well, at least the Liverpool experience is up. The game against Palace lost 1-0, and there should be the highlight round coming soon. You know, I'd say they're very good videos, usually around 10 minutes, but the Liverpool one being a bit longer because so much to talk about, and the Villa game, about 10 minutes I reckon it will be, but some nice visuals on the screen. Definitely go check it out. Give me a subscribe, that would be greatly appreciated. And of course, if you have enjoyed, do anything you can to support the podcast, Backline Banter. See you later.